Okay, good evening. I'd like to call the special meeting of the Alaska City Council to order at 6:01 PM. May I have a roll call, please?
Certainly, Mr. Bell.
Here.
I see you in the Zoom meeting, Mr. Bell, but I can't hear you.
Let me try and adjust this. Can you hear me now?
I'll move on. Ms. Coleman? Here. Ms. Luby? Here. Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Present.
Mr. Tungle is absent. Mr. Tudyakov?
Here. Please stand and join me. Join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I'll ask Councilman Nicholson to lead us.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Nicholson. Hearing no objection, the agenda is approved. Adopted. May I have a motion and a second to go into a work session, please?
I make a motion to go into work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson, seconded by Councilman Robinson. Hearing no objection, we will go into a work session at 6:02, 6:03. First item A is to review and discuss the revenue projections and council goals for FY24 budget. And I'll turn this over to Assistant City Manager Bill.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is what we try to do every year before we get into a lot of our budgeting. We want to hear about what our revenue projections are, as well as our expenditures. And our acting finance director, Clay Darnell, is here tonight to give us a presentation.
Good evening. So most of the presentation, the format will be what you've seen in past years, if you've seen them. So let's go to the first, the second slide, please, Margie. So there's the purpose, no change from the prior year. We want to ensure the general fund operating budget does not exceed the projected general fund revenue. And that's something that we've been able to achieve every year for the 10 years presented in these projections. And then we're also, as part of that, we're going to look at a comparison between our budget to actual to see how close we were. Next slide, please. So there's the 10-year period. Our revenue exceeded the annual budget 9 times. And then for the entire 10-year period, revenues exceeded the budget by $32 million, which is 110%. So another way to think of that is we were 10% over what our estimate was with our actual revenues. And that's pretty good, right? That's pretty close. And that $32.5 million, I'll show you in a slide closer to the end, contributed to an increase in the City of Unalaska's fund balance over the past 10 years. Next slide. So there's the information graphically above and numerically below. You can see in 2016, you actually have a convergence there. In 2017, then you've got a pretty wide gap. But I think from my prior experience here that we received some fish tax in 17 that we were supposed to get in 16. And that's what happened. Once you normalize for that, it'd be look just about like every other data point on the graph. So you can see our actuals exceeded the budgeted revenue for all the 10 years presented. Yes.
I'm going to just jump in here real fast because as you're getting to graphs and statistics, I kind of started looking at your numbers here for the each fiscal year, the budget and the actual. And I found it kind of odd because I was looking at budget summaries to look at these values. Well, the reason why I did it is because I was curious is that if your numbers that you have here for budget include the monies that we brought over from our appropriated fund balance, because balance fund, because I mean, those aren't revenue. I mean, it's revenues, but it's, you know, you're taking from, in order to make the balance, make it balance, you know, you're bringing in money that we have in our savings, for lack of word, right?
I'm with you, but it would not. Yes,
which is what I was finding out. But the other odd thing that I kind of found out is that none of my numbers match yours. I think there were probably a couple that matched, but even going back to FY13, actuals, mine, and some of them are by a couple million dollars. So I'm having a hard time figuring out where you get these, because I went to the budget summaries and looked at what was in each of those graphs. So I guess it kind of makes, it's hard to now look at a graph and wonder how much of this is, I don't want to say word accurate, but somewhere something's not correct.
No, I don't mind that. I appreciate the opportunity to explain. Those are budgetary revenues. So I don't know what you're looking at, but those are budgetary revenues, and they came from our ACFR, right? They came from our ACFR, and the budget came from our actual budgeted amounts, right? So the budgeted amounts wouldn't include any appropriated fund balance, and the actual expense came from just came from the ACFR. So
I'm wondering why there's always a discrepancy. So when we put together the FY24 budget, I mean, when you look at a budget summary, I would think that the budgets and the actuals would be correct based off what you're getting, but they're different. And so I'm just seeing a discrepancy between what is being reported. And like some of these are just fairly significant, like a couple million dollars. I mean, it's a few thousand, I wouldn't, but it's different. And then do your budget ones on here include budget amendments throughout the year, or was it the initial budget that was passed by council at the time?
No, the latter. It was that budget is the budget that was adopted. It wasn't the revised budget. Okay. And there's one more thing that when you said you saw $1 million differences, the only thing I can think of that would be a $1 million difference is that when the budget put together, one thing that's included, there's an account called fair value adjustment on the investments. And I didn't include that in the budgeted revenues or the actual revenues, because it wouldn't affect the budget, right? If the market goes up 25% or down 25%, the city of Unalaska isn't going to do anything as a result of that change. It's an unrealized gain or an unrealized loss, right? So those are the only differences that you would see there. And the numbers are, these are the budgetary numbers.
And again, so it just may be to how you look at your accounting. All I was going back was previous and just kind of checking, because initially I wanted to see if I could answer that question myself. Mm-hmm. And I sort of was, and thank you for that. But it's just, there's some fairly significant differences here. So I guess it has to do. So in other words, when I look at this, what am I looking at? Because it isn't matching. If I was to graph out what I got, what does that mean? So the numbers that we see and we deal with on budget issues, I think need to be reflected of what we see in our actual budget, as opposed to maybe something different. I guess I'm trying not to mix too many fruit in this, because I don't know what I'm looking at, apples or oranges kind of a thing.
I have no idea what you're comparing to, but I'm confident that these are the budgetary revenues and expenses. Okay, and the actual revenues. So these are the budgetary revenues and the actual revenues. And you're talking about differences. I have no idea what you're looking at. When you say we look at things, what are you looking at that produced a difference? And I'll answer the question.
Right. Well, again, all I had to do was go back and look at what on the budget spreadsheet that we get on our, it's the budget summaries. I was looking at all the revenues and I look at previous years and it has what's reported in actual are not meeting or not matching what you're, what is saying here on actuals.
That's right. Because the budget summary has that when it looks at actuals, it, the budget summaries is prepared on a GAAP basis. And I have, I just have budgetary revenue there. Just because I don't think that you should be budgeting for that fair value adjustment. And that's the only difference. But there were a couple of years where it was major differences. Like I can tell you that looking back to, I think it's 2021 where we where the market took a downturn. No, it'd be 2022. We had like a $4 million fair value adjustment. So on the actuals with, that I'm reporting on a monthly basis, you're looking at a big loss, right? But in the description that I gave you, I said, hey, there's a loss here, but there's no actual budgetary loss because we actually have approximately $1 million of cash received on the investments. So I agree that there's some confusion about what gets presented, but overall, I don't think it takes away from anything. I think that those are the budgetary and actual revenues that we can count on. And if you're looking at something else, I can, the only thing it could be is that fair value adjustment.
Okay. I
can't predict that, right? I can't predict what the market's going to do in the next year. That's why I just removed that. Like,
okay, it was kind of perplexing that I
appreciate the question. I did the same thing you did. I just spent, you know, weeks pouring over the same report. So I understand the differences and I think I've provided an explanation, but if you showed me what you came up with, I could respond back and address any difference that you felt like needed to be.
And I'm not saying that basically conceptually it's not kind of the same. Yeah. I mean, but just the numbers were totally different. And I was just wondering what the maybe major discrepancy would be. So, okay.
If there's a major discrepancy, it's what I've explained, and it won't change this, but it might change the reports that we use, the budgetary reports.
Okay. Thank you.
Next slide. Yeah. Okay. So there's the total projection, and we're going to go through the major sources, each one individually. And show the differences from the prior year. So we have a total of 31.8 million, which is consistent with the prior year's revenue number of 30 million. So it's up slightly. Next slide. Okay, and there's the revenue, just the revenue shown as every revenue source and its relative percentage of the total. And when you compare these percentages, there's a graph later on where we'll look at some of the percentages at different time periods, but they're all, there's no major changes from the prior year. Okay, there's our major revenue sources. And over the past 10 years, they've been approximately 80% of our general fund revenues. And for FY24, they're up to 87.2%. And these are relative percentages. So it's basically real property and personal property tax are increasing. And some of the other amounts are staying relatively the same. Okay, so the first major revenue source is real property tax. This assumes the return of the mill rate to 10.5, but if we don't do that, that will be for this revenue category, it'd be about, cost us about $850,000 based on last year's assessed values. and this does not include any adjustment for fiber, which I think is coming, right? Fiber optic has not been assessed yet, or we don't have the assessment.
The $850,000, is that the combined between personal and real property that we would?
No. The combined is $1.2 million, but the next slide, I'll show you the, that'd be the next revenue source. So that's about $845,000 right there. Next slide. So there's the information graphically. And there you can see we've actually got a, in real property tax, there's an upward trend line with the exception of last year, right? So the trend line's still gonna be upward. And then you can see we're going from 4.9 to 5.7 this year. So returning to that same mill rate at 10.5, so the assessed value must have increased. Right? The assessed value increased from 2022. Okay. Any questions before we move forward?
Yeah. I was wondering if people on the phone can hear you. Can I ask real quickly? Tom?
Mr. Mayor, I have been messaging with people on Zoom. I have been messaging with people on Zoom and they can hear us in chambers. Mr. Bell was just is having trouble with his mic.
If he has any questions, have him jump in.
Yeah, I've asked Mr. Bell to send me a message if he has anything he needs to say.
Next slide. So there's the personal property tax, and there you can see the difference is there's $400,000 of difference. It's with the same adjustments, assuming we move back to 10.5. So we're up from the prior year from 2.3 million to 2.7 million. There it is graphically. So this also going to have a positive, an upward trend line. So our largest revenue source, larger than any individual category, but of course, fish tax combined and property tax combined can exceed sales tax individually. Got 2% for the general fund and 1% for the 1% sales tax fund. It's been about 22% of our general fund revenues. And there's a downward trend during this time. And as discussed before, it's got a strong correlation to Alaska North Slope crude. There's the 2023 revenue number. So we left 2024 the same, but what that represents, the actual forecast gave us a larger number. And the actual forecast last year gave us a larger number too. And this 2024 number is about, it's a little over 20% discount from what the forecast provided. But I think it makes sense to be conservative here because our forecasts are based on averages of averages. We've got a three-year, 10-year, and 20-year average. And then we take the average of those averages. And just like we had an increase in the prior year, right, that the forecast didn't deal with, we could have a decline that the forecast doesn't understand either. So I think it makes sense to be conservative here. There's probably some room to be flexible, but that's why I left it at the prior year number. Most of our other revenue sources were very close on the budget to actual where we can be, but this is one where if we make a mistake, it could cost millions, right? If we overestimate and the price goes down, it could cost us millions. So we just want to be careful here. And next slide, please. That's why I left it at the prior year amount. So we've got a gap there. And look, that we've got from 2021. There we go. That's getting washed out there. From 2021 at the bottom, the actual, it says $7 million. And in 2022, it went up to $8.9 million. So we got approximately $2 million increase. Our forecast is not going to be able to predict a decline. I mean, if it looks at averages, it's going to take into effect anything that happened, like a war or a fuel shortage. But in general, in any one year, it can't predict an adjustment like that. You know what I mean? So we need to be careful and conservative when we estimate this revenue.
Mr. Mayor. So the sales tax is one that the reason we have 8.9 is the cost of fuel. The price of fuel went extremely high, and as well as the cost of goods is, I mean, you're paying twice today what you were paying for like, just for instance, a package of chicken, you're paying twice what you did today, what we were paying last year at this time. And that's going to drive those sales tax numbers.
Thank you. And I think it's safe to say that they'll go up quicker than they'll come down. So there's the sales tax budget to actual. We just looked at that. Any more questions, comments on sales tax? Next slide, please. And there's the fuel sales impact on sales tax. So it's the blue line is the fuel vendors, and it's at a little bit over 40% at 2022. So this is exactly what you saw in the last presentation. So it probably would include just about through December of 2021, but it's been fairly consistent. Raw seafood tax, and the current rate's 2%. It's averaged 14.2% of our general fund revenues. And there you see the numbers at the bottom for 23 of 3.4 million and 24 of 3.6 million. And Mr. Kelty, our fish tax consultant, developed the revenue estimates. So we'd defer to him and give him an opportunity to comment if he would like to.
Do you want Mr. Kelty to speak, Mayor? Okay, Frank, I'm going to send you an unmute request.
Yeah, good evening.
Mr. Kelty's unmuted, Mayor.
We're pretty, but fairly close to very Frank, similar what we had in.
I received your review of the fish revenues. Maybe briefly go over that with the council, please.
Okay. Yeah, we're very similar. We actually, we're not quite through with FY23 yet.
Is your phone muted? I've unmuted you in Zoom, but we can't hear you.
Huh. I'm unmuted. I don't know why it's not working.
Has the revenue forecast been shared with the council? Have you seen it? Very detailed by species for each revenue source type. We'll go ahead and go through and Mr. Kelty gets on, we can
wait. So the Zoom users can hear Mr. Kelty, but we can't. I have my IT consultant heading down. We're going to do a
test. Chris, I just sent you an unmute request. If you could unmute and.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Chris, would you speak to see if we can hear you, please?
Can you hear me?
Nope, we can't hear you either, Chris. We can't hear any of the Zoom users can hear us and they can hear each other, but we can't hear them. I've got the IT gentleman is on his way down here. So if you would like to proceed with Mr. Darnell's presentation and then.
Right here for a minute, then I'll go get that letter from Frank.
Okay.
And then maybe the IT guy. Oh, you have it?
Okay. I've got the estimate. Yeah, good. And that's what I'm going to present here. I just want to give him a chance to comment. So if everyone was okay with it, we could continue forward. And
you need to speak a little bit louder.
Okay. The information in the projections today was based on Mr. Kelty's update. So let's go through it. And then when he can comment, we'll give him an opportunity to comment. Okay. Next slide. So there's our raw seafood tax graphically, and there's an upward trend for this revenue source also. And I guess I'm trying to play a trick here. The color's reversed on me. When you copy something into the projection, it changes, because on every other slide, I think the budget is blue and the actual is orange. So. There you can see the actual within from 2019 on, the actual has exceeded the budget, and it's been up. Although the trend line is up, the trend line's up, and the actual for FY24 is up also to 3.6 from 3.4 in the prior year.
That's probably due to the increase in quota and increase in prices.
Thank you. Next slide. Here's our state fisheries business tax at 1.5%. It's averaged about 11.3% of our general fund revenue over 10 years. And there's the FY23 number at 3.7, forecasted to be down 700,000 to 3 million this year. Next slide.
It looks like the increase in the pollock quota offset a lot of the losses we had for crab. And I think we're estimating $1.8 million hit for crab, or lack of crab fish tax. But the increase in the pollock quota sounds like it. Offset that to only about a $700,000 difference.
Yeah. On the next slide, you'll see the offset. And yes, this is without the red king crab.
Could I ask a question? I was just curious. As we kind of talk about all the fish tax and all of that. So why is the fisheries business tax down compared to all of the fish taxes being up?
I'm going to defer to Mr. Kelty.
You remember looking at some of the budget numbers, the financials numbers, and seeing that section of the fisheries business tax that we normally get from the state being a zero. And we've asked about that before. And we don't know why we're not getting it, but we're not getting it anymore. So I think that's the difference in why it's gone down so much.
So So, and here's the other side of that. Our actual state fisheries resource landing tax increased. There's the increase of 400,000 from 4.5 to 4.9. So this, I'm thinking, is the additional quota of pollock. Okay. Next slide, please. Okay, and here it's shown graphically, but remember earlier we were talking about that 1 year, and it would have been 2016 when we didn't get everything, and it must have been the resource landing tax, because we got it the next year. That's why you see the wide swing there. But without that, making adjustments for that, we've been pretty good at predicting what the fish tax is going to be every year. Okay, so here's the revenue sources with the relative percentages for the different time periods. So there's 2017 and every revenue source, every major revenue source, and its relative percentage. And then you see those that same information moving forward 5 years to 2022. And then the 10-year averages in the third group of information, and then finally what we have projected for FY24.
Hard to tell the difference between the investment income and sales tax, which ones are which. I can't quite see the difference in color on the boxes in the bottom.
Mine looks different, but when I copied it in, this is what I got. But we could run through with one revenue source, and if you wanted to do some additional ones, we could do that. So in 2017, look at our real property tax. It was just over 10% of our total revenue at that time. And then moving forward 5 years to 2022, it looks like it's about, what we could say, maybe 12.5% in that second group of data. So it went from a little bit over 10 to 12.5%. It's increasing. And that 2022, it looks like our 10-year average is just about between those two, right? I can't tell. Then moving forward to 2024, our real property tax has increased to, what did we say on the graph earlier? It was approximately 18% of the 2024 number. And that's because it's increased back to the 10.5 mils and everything else has stayed the same.
Wait, so your FY24 is based on 10.5 mil? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Which hasn't been approved yet, but just put it back. You want to go back to that slide for real property tax? Eight. There we go. Yeah. So that's assuming 10.5, the mill rate. And that would mean we would be adjusting it in 2024 from 9 to 10.5.
Is there a reason that we're thinking we're going to put it back to 10.5? Do we have a reason for bumping it back up?
I think I might have been online during that meeting, but I thought that there was a conversation about, well, we'll just do this for a year. But just in general, maybe just because of the inflationary pressure, the pressures that we've had on wages and operating expenses, I think those three things combined. I mean, these are the revenue projections. They haven't been approved by the council. So go to 10 and a half. Just provide the information that you know how much it'll cost you. It'll be on a combined basis. It's 1.2 million. Yeah. It's a great question. I want to go back to 22. One more. There we go. Okay, so this is new this year. We put this in because someone had made a request to see some of the expenses, right? So there's a lot going on this graph. What it does, it takes the revenue, which is blue. It was supposed to, it's mostly blue anyway. And the total expends, seeing the in 2013, that first group of data, you've got the total expends, they're exceeding revenue, but that was because of a large capital outlay in that year. And then the operating expenses are in green. So what this shows, if you pay attention to the trend lines, is that the revenue is trending downward and the operating expenses and total expenses are trending upward, okay?
And that's the reason why we need to look at 10.5 mils.
And then this includes 8.9 million for capital that you haven't approved yet. And understand there's also a roof repair, a school roof repair that may become part of this. So the impact of all this 10-year data, all the revenue in excess of what got estimated and expenditures less than budgeted, results in this graph, where in 2013, we started with 35 million in fund balance. That's our amount. That's not exactly the amount that was available for appropriation, but that's our total fund balance. And adding 55 million over the 10 years, giving us a projected, or in FY22, it's $90 million. So because of increased revenue and decreased expenses, we've added 55 million in fund balance over the 10-year period. And in each year, in the numerical information shown below in the last two lines, you can see that even when we did plan on an appropriation of fund balance, like in the first year in 2013, we planned to use 9.3, we only used 3.7. And in every year where we planned a surplus, our actual surplus was greater than what we planned in as part of the budget. Okay. Any questions? Were we able to get Mr. Kelty online?
Mayor, may I suggest a 10-minute break? So we can work on the audio to get, so that you all can hear the folks that are participating on Zoom. Would that be okay to take a break right now?
With no objection, we'll go ahead and take a break.
Thank you, sir.
6:40, 6:38. Okay. We're ready? Yeah, call back to order in our work session. 6:45 p.m. I understand that the phones are working. Thank you, IT, for getting back online. Frank, we asked the question regarding the fishery report that you sent in to Chris, the city manager, and Bill.
Yeah.
So maybe go briefly over that. Okay.
Yes. And I think the comment I heard from Vice Mayor Robinson is that 17% increase on pollock took care of, covered a lot of our crab losses. And you must realize that the crab that we hoped that we would have had on Red King crab and snow crab wouldn't have been that large of amount anyway. You know, snow crab would have been lucky if we had 4 to 5 million pounds, and king crab probably less than 3 million pounds. So that huge increase on pollock really helped a lot. I might have been, when we look at the Alaska Fisheries Business Tax, and I heard the comment from, I think, from Ms. Luby that why it was so much lower than the 2% raw fish. Well, the Fisheries Business Tax is only 1.5%. Our 2% local tax is 2%. So that reduces the amount there. And I'm usually a little conservative on these because, you know, things, prices aren't settled for what we're going to see later on in the year for, you know, next A season, which would be in FY24. So we don't know for sure what's going on with prices. Just speaking tonight, we just got the information on the halibut fishery for next year. And the halibut on the commercial side took a 10% cut, which might be good for pricing on it. We had actually excellent halibut prices, even though we still don't know how much halibut was really landed in Alaska because not enough buyers to purchase it. So it's still confidential. But sablefish, we increased sablefish was 2 million pounds more than the previous year in 2023. But that's one reason on the 1.5 business tax. It's a little bit lower revenue, and we don't have a lot of the items like the resource landing, the offshore group. They have numerous species of fish that that they catch, and they get their 1.5% on. So there's not as many species for the shoreside because we don't do any of those bottom fish, flatfish species, except for halibut. We don't do any of the sole and mackerel. But I feel pretty comfortable on the resource landing tax. The offshore group on pollock has a 10% more pollock allocation than the shoreside sector because they get the 10% CDQ group is all processed offshore. And also they have the mothership sector is included in the offshore, the resource landing tax. So that's why there's a larger difference there because they get a larger chunk of the pollock allocation. And also same thing goes on with codfish for the offshore sector. They have like 70% of the allocation taken. 50% is all taken just by the resource longliners. So I feel comfortable. I probably could have gone a little bit higher on the 1.5 business shared tax, but you know, we did real well last year on all the fish tax categories. They were all well above budget. So if that happens again, then we'll have fund balance. So I'll stand by if anybody else has any questions.
Great, thanks, Frank. Any comment, questions for Frank? Okay. For some reason, I received the report, Frank, and I assumed it was sent on, but to the rest of the council, they'll be getting it this evening. So thanks a lot. All right. Any questions for Mr. Darnell before we move on? Thanks. Now we'll move on to the next item. You finished up?
Okay, next we were going to review the budget goals for next year. The first one to review is the personnel goals, and so we have no recommended increases in the number of positions this year. But we do have increases in our personnel costs based on schedules increases in the CBAs. Next, our general fund surplus or deficit. The general fund will budget operations without a deficit. And council may appropriate additional funds from surplus to cover the cost of capital projects. And there's no change also. It's just consistent with the prior years. in proprietary funds, no change in our goal there. Staff will seek ways to balance the budgets. And then for our operating expenses, the change that we have, everything's the same, except we're recommending an increase of 5% for the non-personnel expenditures. We held them to 3% in the prior year, but we just feel like because of the inflationary pressures that things are going to cost more. They'll still need to come in and justify any increase, right, from the over the prior year. But we felt like 5% was a more reasonable estimate than the 3% used and that we've used for a long time, really. And then the formula, therefore the for the community support programs, we're recommending 3.5% again. And that calculation yields approximately the same as the prior year because it's based on a 5-year average.
Excuse me. Does it not drop this year? I thought I was looking at that and I was a little bit concerned about that actually, because I thought in that five year period that it actually, the revenues dropped off.
It might be a small amount, but since it's based on the average, it wasn't a material drop.
Okay. Thank you.
And then remember one part of that to the bed tax out of the convention center or convention bureau is it's just been that expenditure amount's been fixed at 210,000 for a few years. So it's not based on the percentage. So there's the restatement of our goal for FY24, the maximum increase in non-personnel expense from 3 to 5, and that's the only change we're recommending in that category. Capital projects, which we'll be talking about in more detail in a minute, but the same goal as in prior years. They have to be approved by the council. Projects are mandated or required by statute. They maintain our existing infrastructure that address life, safety, or health issues, and projects that support the economic development of Unalaska. Continuing forward to revenues, there's no rate study that would drive revenue changes this year. The last rate study would have been in 2021. We've talked about the mill rate. Debt service also, there's no changes. Any comments or question on the budget goals? Sure.
You know, kind of probably jumping myself here a little bit, but you know, we did do a utilities rate study. I'm going to be interested to see, like, we increased the rates on that to try to help the expense, you know, the revenues meet the expenses on that. And we increased them a little bit, and we were looking to fill the niche with what we were short on with the sales tax, but that didn't go through. And so it's just kind of, so I'm, you know, you're talking about rate studies. I mean, we did one on that and it just seems like we never really followed through on where that was going. And it'll be interesting to see on the budget how those are playing out.
And you should be able to see that when we come back with the proprietary fund budgets, their operating budgets, and which will include their revenue.
And so those rate studies are something that we used to do every 3 years, and we're overdue for one. We need to probably take a look. I mean, we've done a couple of different departments, but overall, we haven't done all of them. So,
thank you. Any further questions or comments?
All right, thank you.
Do you want to ask Mr. Bell?
Mr. Bell?
I just don't want to leave him out.
I didn't really have any questions, but I think I have one comment that I may add in here. And it's when we look at the personnel goals, we look at the number of people that are the number of positions that are open right now. And that there is a possibility that as we fill these positions, the wages on those positions are going to go up. Some of them could go up dramatically and have an effect on the overall budget. That would be my only comment.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Mayor, the city manager, Mr. Laddick, asked to speak as well whenever you're ready. Chris Laddick would like to speak whenever you're ready.
City Manager Chris Laddick, you have a comment?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's nice to finally be able to speak. I appreciate the council getting together on a Friday night to talk about such an exciting topic as revenue projections for city council. And I just want to say that this is the starting line. What Clay provided in slide 22 is just a guesstimate of where we are and trying to get a handle on, you know, approximately how much money will there be for the CMMP, which Bill Homp is going to talk about in more detail here a little later. And we start to put together, you get a window into the view, our view of the world, trying to get a handle on how much the school may want. I think it was pointed out that we might be looking at replacing the school roof, which could be a significant amount of money, and bringing that all together as we move forward to adopting the budget. And yes, this is just a guesstimate at this point, adding 5%, as Councilmember Robinson said. You know, it costs more for a package of chicken at Safeway. Well, it's costing the city a lot more money for everything, as well as everyone in the community. So I think 5% is pretty conservative for an increase during this time. And I just wanted to point those things out. So we definitely want to hear from the city council what questions you might have. Happy to spend time with you outside of council meetings, no more than three at a time, to get more questions you might have answered, and really appreciate that you guys are willing to meet about this and paying attention and have really good questions. So we appreciate that as we move forward. And I guess the next thing will be, one of the things we'll be working on is proprietary funds. Yes, we always did rate studies every 3 years, because if you don't, things get away from you. If you want to build a water tank that costs $7 million, you better have it cranked into the rate so you can actually afford it when the time comes to replace it. So we definitely need a rate study done on the dock, the ports system, and we'll be talking more about that too. So if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer, but thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Chris. And council members have questions for Chris? Mr. Bell?
No questions, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on, Bill, to the next item, the CMMP.
Okay, this is Bill Homka, just trying to lock the mic here. So What I had put in the memo was really, remember, we're about maybe a few weeks ahead on all of this, and I understand why, but some of these numbers, I just want to remind you, these are FY23 numbers that I pulled over, and some of them we need to make sure as we're going into it, what are their estimates? So keep that in mind. We have 18 projects basically proposed for the 24 CMMP, total cost of 32.8 million and change. And it's written down or broken down by, of course, the general fund and our proprietary funds. And I listed just in the memo, so you can see what the current projections were for these projects. We're still working on final numbers, but you can see the large 8.9 million for this year's general fund is Captain's Bay Road comes in at around 6. Equipment storage building is 1.3 million. I'm sorry, Captain's Bay Road is 6 million. The equipment storage building, 1.3. The rolling stock and the facility maintenance plan, those numbers, I just received updates this morning or this afternoon. Those are about 1.4 million each. So the facility maintenance plan is obviously way off, and the rolling stock is about 100,000 off. So remember, however, that those get broken out by fund. However, the general fund is the bulk of it, a million each, probably. So as it is right now, it'd be another $1 million onto this for the facilities maintenance plan, basically. We have three projects in the electric proprietary fund, distribution equipment for 100,000, our gen set rebuild for 1 million, and the large transformer maintenance for almost 200,000. That comes in for a total of $1.3 million. The ports only project we're proposing right now is a $480,000 restroom at the Marine Center. There are no projects at this point proposed for the Solid Waste Fund or Wastewater Proprietary Fund. The Water Proprietary Fund, we have around $8 million in there for three projects, the Icy Lake Hydro Study for $73,000, the Pyramid Water Tank for just under $8 million, and then the on-site chlorine generation of $448,000 for a total of $8.4 million there, or more or less. Now, remember the criteria that I used with the existing projects were projects that have already been funded with seed funding or have, engineered funding, or if we started, putting money into the project. If it hadn't received any money yet, but was programmed in for 24, I pushed them over. And just to give you a quick look at that, do we have that, Margie? Oh, wait a minute. I didn't move it. Yeah, where's the spreadsheet at? The dueling mouses. Yeah, you can open it, the whole thing. Right. For now, let me show it. I don't know how to make it bigger. Can you make it bigger? IT. Hold on. So you all have this sheet in front of you. And the reason we did it this way is I just wanted to get through FY24. But the larger spreadsheet that we will print off for you in the whole roll is all here. Those just turned off so we can see. But they're here in case there's projects as you're looking down this sheet. For example, we had a discussion about the cruise ship terminal. Now that is not yet in FY24. I haven't moved that over yet. But there could be other projects as you're looking, why didn't that get put in, or you think it's warrants being included. So I have all that information as well as our summary sheets that can tell you about those projects that we haven't included in FY24 for your memory. But I wanted you to see that it's the same standard format that we've always had. You can see the FY23 total. That's what basically helped determine these projects. When it's a proprietary fund, it's a little different, right? I mean, these proprietary funds exist to keep the systems in place and maintenance of those systems so that they don't, you know, fail or get old. Really, the general fund is one that we were very strict about not starting a new one. And I say that because as I look up here, 24, you know, the large transformer maintenance and service for $195,000, well, that's a proprietary fund. And that, those funds are set aside for those reasons. Some of the projects are multiple funded, like McCushion. One year it's general fund, another year makes both general fund and electric because it's that part of the project. So it gets a little confusing. You see general fund, electric, McCushion geothermal project for $2 million. That was in last year's. I'm not sure where those obligations stand, but we put forth what was in last year's as we were planning on it. So you'll see that's the whole $2 million from external. And that column is supposedly grants or other funds besides proprietary or general. The electrical intermediate level protection, no, wait a minute, excuse me, generator sets rebuild is $1 million. The other big one, large transformer maintenance and service, and then the distribution equipment replacement. So that's really going to come down to $1.3 million basically out of the electric proprietary fund is proposed for FY24. There is really not a lot in the general fund, like I said, except Captain's Bay Road and utility improvements. You can see, and I always have trouble remembering how to lock these up, but $6 million, this is the general fund column. So that $6 million is from the general fund. $4.3 million plus is from the proprietary fund, whichever project we're talking about. And then 6.9, just about 7 million is what we're hoping to get from some sort of external funding. So the total project valuation for FY24 on the Captain's Bay Road project is just over 17 million. Of course, a lot of things have to happen there for that to happen. Another one is the equipment storage building, 1.3 million. We gave that some money, around 200,000 last year. That project has been getting kicked down the tape down the road every CMMP that I've been here. So it's on because we already started funding it, but obviously it's 200,000 in funding and over $1 million left. So that's for consideration. You done with Margie stole my mouse again. The storage facility, right? Equipment storage building. Thank you. And there's one more thing, the rolling stock replacement plan again. This one looks, this is where we were predicting 1.3 out of the general, total of 1.6. I think Mr. Kohenauer just provided me about 1.4 million proposed for this year. And I do have that plan if you want to get into it. I haven't had much time to look at it in detail. So what you see here for just the general fund area is, you know, $8.9 million, basically $9 million in projects that we're looking to commit for the general fund. Again, the ports is just the 480,000 project. The big projects were already funded and committed and put into, you know, accounts for the dredging project, et cetera, that was funded in FY22 and 23 with the large grant amount from Congress. Nothing in the solid waste, nothing in the wastewater proprietary. When we get down to the water, again, there's three projects, Dicey Lake Hydrologic Survey for just over 70,000, our Pyramid Water Storage Tank for just under 8 million, and the on-site generation of chlorine, 448,000. So that fund we're looking at 8.2 million. So total, all the proprietary funds, that's what's down here, is the 14 million. Total general fund is 9 million. And total external funding, whether it's grants or, I'm not sure what else is there besides grants, but it could be, just under 9 million. So those are the projects. that I put forth for FY24 as it is. And of course, we haven't added in the UMC, or the, excuse me, the cruise ship terminal study funds that we're changing from the actual dock project. So let me stop there and see if there's any questions.
Any questions, Councilman Liu?
Okay, well, first off, when I look at the revenues versus the expenses that we just went over versus, and this as well, the entire CMMP is gonna throw us over budget. If we didn't have a CMMP, we'd be fine. But we have stuff we have to do. I understand that, but I just thought I would kind of note that. But I did have a couple questions on, so the equipment storage building, I understand it's been kicked down the road. It's probably a good reason it's been kicked down the road. My personal vehicle sits outside, everybody else's does. I understand that it's nice to be able to have your equipment inside so that if you need to get out there and plow the snow off the roads or whatever, that it's ready to go. Diesel equipment, you have to warm up anyway.
You know, so. If I may, I've heard the pitch for this project several times, and I understand it seems like, oh boy, it's a garage for this equipment. But bear in mind the value of the equipment that will be stored in here. And if it's continually set outside with the elements, it's not so much about getting it running into a warm vehicle. I don't think a lot of them have a lot of warmness in them, but it's more about protecting the investment so it doesn't rust away sitting out there in the months that's not being used, et cetera. And if you'd like to know more about that, I'm sure Mr. Kohenauer would come up.
I understand why you would want to put stuff inside. I mean, right. It does. It protects stuff. Does it warrant a big building this year when we don't really know how everything's going to be affected with all of the increases in wages, which I think are important. I think that we need to take care of staff with the rising increases. So, you know, maybe we do put stuff off a little bit longer just so that we can see what are those impacts going to be. And that's just the equipment storage building is one of those things that I personally feel like is, it's a want, a wish. It's not a need, right? There's nothing health and safety or anything like that. Nothing that's going to be devastating to the community if we don't do that. So to me, that would be something that I would maybe look at also getting rid of. I did have a question on the HVAC. So you don't have that on here. It was scheduled to continue on. I'm not sure how it ended up on the list we went over the other day. It's the, if you look at, it's right underneath facility maintenance, the HVAC control upgrades. So it's not on here, but if you look at what we went over the other day, it's on that list. And so I'm kind of curious, we've started a project, now we're not, which didn't have any money to start the project, but now we have it not even, I'm not sure. I'm confused on that one.
This is Tom Kohenauer. So I'm not exactly clear of your question, but is it, where are we at with the HVAC DDC controls upgrade project?
Yes.
Yeah, so it is a funded project, and there are 11 projects on that schedule. One of them is the library of that 11, and the money for that upgrade is coming out of the library project. The other 10 are underway, and they're, each building is a little bit different, but in general, they're probably 50% complete.
Okay, so in FY24, mm-hmm. there was $433,000 that originally was going to go towards this in FY24, mm-hmm. but now we're pushing it off. But you had 12,000 that was, I'm not sure where the 12,000 came from to start in FY23, because I don't see any number here for in the FY23 column.
I'm not exactly sure what sheet you're looking at, but the entire complete DDC project has been is underway for FY23 of those 11 buildings.
And we do not have any additional DDC, HVAC DDC controls upgrade projects scheduled for 24.
Yes, thank you. That I threw me off too. If you look at, because I was comparing, because we, I was comparing this sheet, what we have here compared to last year's CMMP that was projected for 2024. So I could see what has been changed. And on last year's sheet, it has $433,000 for this HVAC system. And I'm like, oh, where we started that project already. So I guess I'm like, I'm confused as to you, we've already, it was projected for 2024 last year. I've got it right here.
If you can point it out on the sheet, I might be able to help you. I do know that the HVAC DDC controls project, I don't remember the total dollar amount, but it encompassed 11 buildings. Like I said, the library is coming out of the library project. That was fully funded under FY23. We do have an upcoming project at the museum to replace that HVAC system. That might be that one that you're referring to.
I don't know. I'm just going off of what last year's CMMP looked like. It doesn't tell me exactly what it's for.
Yeah, it looks like the HVAC controls upgrades 11 city buildings. I'm not seeing any numbers across that line item. Unless I'm seeing it wrong.
No, it does. There's nothing in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's line 69 on last year's. And it says there was no money for it last year.
That is a CMMP project for FY23, and it's at least 50% accomplished right now.
Right, but it's not on the FY20.
It was for 24. I'm just saying.
I don't have an answer for you, except maybe it was a typo.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tom. Yeah. Thank you, Councilman. And we will look into that and see what happened. If it got moved forward somehow before. I can't explain it, so I have to look.
Mm-hmm. So,
Mr. Robinson,
one thing I'm not going to be in favor for is cutting that and pushing the equipment storage building down the road. In the past 5 years, it would have paid for itself due to the equipment replacement that we've had to do. You go to a grader, and you're going to spend a minimum of $900,000 on a piece of that equipment. And that stuff out in the elements, it's not so much the graders, but all of the equipment, if it's undercover, and I've heard it a number of times from the maintenance up there, that it would definitely extend the life of these things out and push, you know, give us 5 to 10 more years in some of this equipment if it was stored inside. And what I would ultimately like to get down as far as costs is the equipment replacement plan. That's something that we can take and tighten our belt on, I believe. We did it last year. I think it is something that we can probably look at this year. But I look at that equipment storage building as getting that number down even more in subsequent years. And that's why I wouldn't want to see that one cut and pushed down the road anymore.
Mr. Bell, comment?
I just had a quick comment on the water storage tank. I'm not necessarily opposed to taking on more debt for, you know, infrastructure. But I think what we never have really gotten good numbers on is the impact to water rates. Potentially you have a new user coming on down the road that would help alleviate some large rate increases, but it would still be good to get some kind of numbers on, you know, the $7-8 million project. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And it's on our radar now. look at the proprietary percentages so we can get them up or down. I agree with Councilman Robinson regarding the warehouse. Today, can't get a piece of equipment for under $1 million with all the electronics that we have on these equipment nowadays. The elements take them out faster than the operators. And to replace electronics in one of them is, depending on what it is, be very costly. And we would need that piece of equipment possibly about the time it broke down. So I encourage the council to support a warehouse. Councilman Coleman.
Thank you. So one of my very first questions was like when I was comparing, apparently I'm not supposed to do, but once I compared, we got several items that fell off the sheet, but I'm assuming they got moved off. So since when I get those, I'll take a look. So I'm not going to bother with going into that. I'm assuming they just got pushed and when I can get that question answered later. The ferry terminal thing that we changed through directive to do it as a scope or as a need study, I'm not too sure that was really expressed that it had to happen this fiscal year. I mean that's something we can talk about, but it wasn't something that to me had to fall in this year, and I don't know if it was something that we wanted to do, so I'm sure that was to look at later, but one of those is just didn't want that to fall off the map. So, okay, my favorite, let's go to Captain's Bay. So I would like to know. So I know that these are the numbers that came over from last year's CMMP that was approved. I didn't improve it mainly because of these columns here. The 6 million, okay, that's coming out of general fund under public works. I'd like to know exactly what that is intended for.
Invite Mr. Cohenour up. He's the best probably to explain these numbers in this project.
Okay.
So like Mr. Laddick commented early on, this is really the starting point. And the number that you're looking at, that $6 million plus, that was our best guess estimate over a year ago. And that really involved, all the work, like earthwork and sidewalks and streetlights and paving, all the way out to OSI. And so that was divvied up, for FY23 and 24. And the DOT planner suggested that we phase that project. And since that $6 million was put out there, we've done a lot of work with the DOT planners at the state of Alaska, and we've reduced the scope, and we're down to about $15 million for the entire project now for paving from Agnes Beach to westward. So that $6 million it's really not an accurate number at this point.
So it's for paving only?
The $6 million included the entire project, all the way to OSI.
If we get the $6 million for this next year, what are you going to use it for?
I'm not asking for $6 million this year. Last Tuesday, I did a presentation to council and I covered the Captain's Bay Road project, and we've actually reduced the scope of that. And we're still in the process of working with the city planner. So you may recall that I suggested to council to be thinking about the city's cost sharing part, which would be approximately $5 million. And if the city was willing to provide $5 million in cost sharing, we potentially could get $20 million total to do the work from Agnes Beach to westward.
Yes, I do remember that. So how come, you've got $6 million under your general fund here for Captain's Bay Road improvements. If this gets approved, you get $6 million for 2024. What would you spend that on?
I would take $5 million and attribute to the cost sharing portion to the STIP.
if you don't get the STIP grant, if we don't get it, what are you going to spend $6 million on? Or so that's the next question. So is this all contingent? This here is only contingent if we get monies from the state for the project.
So we're doing a legislative request for about $4 million to do the safety improvements around Dead Man's Curve. We're also doing a STIP request for about $15 million. It'd be a $20 million project with $5 million from the city. So if the city were suddenly gave me $6 million to work on the Captain's Railroad project, I would take $5 million and apply to the STIP. If the STIP was denied, I would take $4 million and do the safety improvements around Dead Man's Curve.
And that would be what? $4 million to do what? Safety. I mean, like, so what would you do? What are we talking about?
Be $4 million to slope back Dead Man's Curve and make that radius around Dead Man's Curve a lot less. And then from Dead Man's Curve to Pyramid Creek, we'd straighten those curvy sections out.
All right, so we've got 4.3 in the preparatory column. So what exactly are we talking about there?
Which column again?
So you've got under the proprietary fund, you have for public works, which I guess I don't understand that, for Captain's Bay Road. So public works is going to use proprietary funds to do what?
That's strictly for the water line, utility work.
So we're talking water. So we haven't done that water study that we approved. I mean, the engineering portion. So this is going to be water that's going to for which portion?
Right now, we're trying to do a water line from westward to North Pacific Fuel.
Water and wastewater? Or is it just water?
Just water.
Okay. All right. But that's what we put in for our scope for engineering, which we haven't even done yet. From westward to
we have Tom Regan on board right now, Regan Engineering on board to do the design work. Okay.
Fantastic. And then my final question, well, we're going down to, bear with me, y'all. Where was the other Captain's Bay Road thing? It was in one of the preparatory funds. Sorry. I'm sorry. It was 4.3. Never mind. Okay. I just had it in the wrong column. So I guess I got it. So okay. I got it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Could I have a follow-up there? So when we were talking about the monies coming, if we were to get the grant, that's almost $7 million plus the $6 million that would come from the general fund for Captain's Bay Road. So all of that $12, $13 million is going to go just to do Dead Man's Curve and straighten the road?
Which $7 million grant?
So you said that, so we have external funds for this is Captain's Bay project, mm-hmm. right? So for external funds, we have just almost $7 million. Budgeted, and then you have the $6 million coming from the general fund, and you said you were going to apply that $6 million to the match, right? Mm-hmm. Which I'm assuming would make that $13 million in total if we got the money from the state.
So in the last year, the cost estimate has gone up. Last Tuesday I got the estimate from the DOT, and that was the $20 million for that project. So The numbers you're looking at right there really don't correlate because they're over a year old and mm-hmm. things have been evolving, you know,
so
almost every 2-3 months.
Okay, so even if it's 20 million, mm-hmm. but you're saying that the only thing that is going to be done out of those two funds, the money coming, if we get approved for the money from the state or the federal government, the external money and the general fund, whatever that dollar amount is, that's just for the road. Just to straighten it out and take back Dead Man's Curve?
Well, so there's two projects kind of underway. Well, three if you count the utilities, but in terms of just the road work, we're looking at what I call safety improvements. And that was the initial phase one part that the DOT suggested that we scale the project back. So we end up with phase one, and that was a legislative request, which was denied this last go around, but we're going to apply it again. But that's, it was approximately $4 million, it might be $5 million now, but that just to straighten out or slope back the curve, a dead man's curve, and straighten it out from there to the Pyramid Creek. The other project then is the paving aspect from Agnes Beach to Westward.
So that would be included in that as well then?
That part is $20 million. The Agnes or the Dead Man's Curve safety improvements is approximately, let's say, $5 million now.
Okay, so now we have the road work plus the paving, which encompass.
Well, the road work includes the paving.
I think we're trying to just figure out what the heck we're going to do with, what's the money going to be spent on if we get it? You know, are we going to use it to pave, just pave, you know, put asphalt down? Are we going to use it to blow up Dead Man's Curve? Are we going to use it to straighten out some of the curbs? Are we going to put sidewalks in? What exactly are we planning?
I think if you actually wait for a while and see if the state legislature is going to approve the $4 million request and wait and see if the state is going to improve our request for the STIP. And I believe, what did I tell you last Tuesday? I think May, was it, that we'll know about the STIP. I think if you hold off for a while and make a decision on the Dead Man's Curve or the Captain's Bay Road funding, we'll know what kind of grant money is going to be available to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not saying yes or no to approve it. I'm just trying to figure out what we want to do with the money.
Sure. Where,
what would it be spent on? So, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any way about it, just because we budget it doesn't mean we have to spend it. And we need to always remember that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because when we have a project, we always bring it to council and get it approved first.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom.
Are there any other questions on where we left off?
Any further questions for Bill or Chris?
I think I'd just like to mention on the Captain's Bay Road that we have started like a little working committee to start looking at making sure that this messaging is kind of standard. What you see and what's happening is there's a grant opportunity here or there's a STIP opportunity here. And what means is some of them will fund some things, but not other things. And really want to present to you the whole project as it's scoped at this point, and then see what elements kind of cost. And I've talked with the city engineer about this, how to make it, because every time you look at it, it does look different. You know, what's happening? And now, you know, we have potential development farther down. That's changed some of the things. I mean, how will we stage that? And what I haven't had an opportunity to do, but I've started looking at what kind of financing tools and assessment tools are available in Alaska in terms of, you know, looking at some support from the owners along that way who are going to strictly benefit from this road and investment. So that could be something, anything from a TIF to an enterprise zone to frankly looking at difference in assessments from year to next. And as that property value goes up, when those are sold, can we recapture some of that through some sort of assessment? Because if you own a whole lot of land that's not developable and all of a sudden you have this nice road that goes there, that land's going to be worth more. And it's that margin of difference that could be put towards part of it as an assessment put towards this project. So I'm trying to find out if that's something we can do as a tool here or, you know, other states that have it, but I've just not had a chance to see if we can do that here and what other communities do. Because it's a tall order, no matter how you look at it, for the city to pay for this kind of an expensive road.
LADs. I mean, same thing we did on Haystack when we put sewer and water up there at an LID, right? I mean, there could be the same thing out there to help pay for that. So it just, I mean.
Thank you. And the acronyms are different. Sure. Not put a lid on it.
No, we need a lid.
Anything else? And I can pull up the summary sheets if you want to go through them to look at. But again, Captain's Bay Road is so complicated, and it's the biggest expenditure you have. It deserves its own look and explanation. So just bear that in mind. Those numbers, I said, they were pulled in from the year before, and they have been revising them as we go. So we just don't have a final revised number for this year.
I think mostly we're just trying to figure out what's going on out there. It's, I don't know if it's even so much about the number as what is going on.
Thank you.
Councilman Robinson.
Yeah, so what we're seeing tonight is probably going to be different from what we see a month or 2 months from now. This is preliminary.
Correct. Thank
you. So it's, you know, and it will change. And as year after year, we've seen it's a different monster now than it is going to be when we pass it.
Yeah. Is Chris online? You have any comments, Chris?
Yeah. Captain's Bay Road is going to be a difficult project to get done. There's not enough users out there for, I think, to pay for an LID, but I think we do need to talk to some of the folks that are do business out there and see how we can get the project done. You know, there's economies of scale at play here. If you get a batch plan out to do basically a short section of road from Airport Beach to westward, and you've got a MOB and DMOB, which might be $1 million for each section that you do, that makes the project more expensive. Every day that goes by makes the project more expensive. I think at this point, we need to focus on utilities and get the utilities done. We need Trident's coming in the first week of February. They need to tell us exactly what they want. And then we need to figure out, you know, come back to the council with ideas on how to get it to them. But that's going to be a challenge in itself, too, to take water, sewer. I think the electric utility lines have already been laid. But as we already know, the water line is expensive, too. So it's a big project. And it's confusing because now we're going to split it up into sections. And, you know, in the near future, we're going to be redoing Airport Beach Road. So. That's all I have to say, Mr.
I think for me, what would be helpful, and it would be helpful for my buy-in, because I'm not there, is that, yes, this is a big project, and it seems to be the Captain's Bay Road, and so that I don't have to drill Mr. Konar every time he comes up here, which is probably his last time. We're gonna miss you, Mr. Konar. If it was subdivided in, like, just instead of Captain's Bay Road, it'd be, you know, Captain's Bay Road Water or something. I don't know if it's that easy to do, because it is, they are intermingled in a way, but at least I know kind of really what section are we talking about and what, you know, what part, because you may want to just do it by sections and such. So, I mean, so that maybe I can prioritize and that, yeah, this is really important. Maybe not the big whole thing, but right now this is where I want to see it. So it's just food for thought, not a must do, but just something. Instead of Captain's Bay Road, maybe we need to, like, look at it a little differently.
This is Bill again. If I may, I think it was around August that we presented the Captain's Bay Road Improvement Plan. And I hesitate to bring it up because I'm sure the numbers in the Captain's Bay Road Improvement Plan probably don't align with this one, because it's, but at least the sections you'll see, it's like the four phases and what we were looking at in each one. It is there, but it's not been really tweaked since September. So, and that may have changed as well, but we are looking at that and how to present it to council in a holistic fashion. So it's not, you know, four different phases by five different funds, but, you know, it's just 20 different things just funding wise happening there for you, which I would get. And then where do we move the signage and the sidewalks that go from phase one to four? And these are the things that they wrestle with every time down there about if there's an opportunity, how do they package it so that it's not above what they'll accept as a request, but that it'll score high.
enough to get funded. And that's kind of that game, but we still need a solid plan. Like I said, so you know that these are all things that are included. This is maybe the price of each as of now, but we don't want to put the road down and then come back and put utilities in. Well, that's certainly a waste. So it has to happen in a certain way.
Well, we're right. And then we did the study on it, or, you know, benefit analysis, and it's only, you know, for paving. So what, you know, so I guess I'm just like, you know, when I talk about where's the $6 million going, well, it's going to dirt work. Well, we haven't even talked utilities yet. So I'm trying to support something, but I just can't right now. The way it's being laid out and the way this whole like just doesn't seem to is not working for me right now. That's where I'm at. So we'll see how, like you said, see how the grants, like if we get any money for it, I just
try and remember this is a budgetary kind of a document, and it's not going to have all those phases and plans in it. I mean, this is a big enough one that it deserves its own update and presentation at council. We're just trying to get through that's a big number. That's a big number up there. If there's no support up here for this project, if that was suddenly a bad taste, considering everything we know, whether it's $6 million or $5 million, that's still a big number. So if I see four people up here going, and there's more work, or we're gonna have to put it off a year. So remember, but the planning documents are totally different. That's a whole involved process to go through phase by phase. That is, the more I try to show it on here, the more difficult it gets. So
we also got to remember that the cost benefit analysis was only done on the road and not the utilities. We don't know what the benefits are of putting utilities out there yet, because it was only done on the road. So it's only part of the picture.
Thank you.
Mr. Bell indicated he wanted to speak.
Councilman Bell, go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a couple quick comments, and I know we beat up Captain's Bay Road quite a bit here, but, you know, just sitting and listening, because it's been chopped up into so many puzzle pieces, you know, to try and get funding, it does get kind of confusing as to where the money's going and why and where. So, you know, looking down the road, as we get more information on some of that, I think it'll be a little easier to take a look at where the dollars are going. One project that I did want to just bring up, because I saw it flash up here on the screen, was Lee Road. If I remember correctly, back when the other buildings up there were upgraded, that there was some talk or some the increase in the cost to do those remodels partly was because of electrical. And at the time, the justification for that was that the electrical wasn't up to code. So do we need to look at the Lear buildings that weren't done? And do we need to put a little more urgency on that project?
So thank you, Councilman Bell. If you all recall, we had that on the CMA. It was fully funded, I mean, the project. And then we had put it lightly, we had a glitch for the residents there. After everyone thought, you know, like having to move, so we wound up breaking that project into two. And the economies of scale and the MOB and DMOB just suddenly changed, added to that project to the point where it was going to cost a lot more to do all four. But to answer your question specifically about improvements, certainly there are code issues. Those buildings were built in, what, the 80s? The electrical is in need of overhaul. I mean, those are properties that we were leasing. So we do have to look at what's the risk of having people rent them if they're not up to code. I don't have a number for you on that. If that's something we want to look at, I can try and get that for like the next presentation in, you know, March or end of February, and go from there. So thank you for that comment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further questions for Bill on the MFT? City Clerk, have anyone present who wishes to speak?
Nobody answering the phone, sir.
further comment? Councilman Robinson.
A while back, we lined the sewer main over in Ptarmigan Flats, over at from the airport. Basically, from the airport to where Sampson is. At what point are we looking at replacing that faulty, or have we? Have we planned on replacing the cast iron pipe that oil had eaten through and caused those infiltrations into that sewer system?
Mr. Tompkins from Utilities is coming up to help answer that question. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah, Steve Tompkins. In the 10-year CMMP plan that I inherited, Vice Mayor Robinson, that it wasn't on there anywhere. I'm aware that it was slip-lined. That's supposed to last a good long time, but that definitely is an area of concern, and it might be something for a future project. It wasn't on the extended CMMP that I took over, but it could be something we can think about.
I bring it up because, yes, we slip-lined it, but what we slip-lined, if that gets eaten away, it's not going to do us a whole lot of good, and we'll have a problem. So I think within that 10-year CMMP projection, that project probably needs to be in somewhere. It's nothing important this year, but I think we need to get it on the radar at least.
I agree. Thank you. Speaking just really quickly, since I'm up here, about Captain's Bay Road and Utilities. Utilities is kind of in the position where they have to go in first. And so I can't really wait until Captain's Bay Road paving kind of makes its way through the seven stomachs of the cow. I have to, I have to work on getting Utilities in on like a freestanding basis because they make sense. And so that's why we break off little pieces. We put conduit in the road all the way out to OSI because we had a great opportunity to do it pretty cheap. We're working on water line to North Civic Fuel because they have that wood stave coming over the hill that wastes a lot of water. And so we look at little pieces of ways to make things happen. They did look at Utilities in the cost benefit analysis, and they wanted us to take them out because some utilities are super cheap. I just met with OSI, and to extend water line from North Pacific Fuel to OSI would be $2.2 million. And they use approximately $35,000 worth of water a year. So we can't really do it on an idea that investing that $2.2 million is gonna bear dividends. Of course, now if Trident goes further out there, then we just look at it holistically. So we're just trying to be creative in how we look at it. If we gave them water so they didn't have to run a water plant, that's gonna be cost savings to them. So there's other ways to look at it. So there is a Captain's Bay Road water line extension project that's pulled out, and that's a lot of that money there that was shown on that line is associated with that, because it was originally about $5 million to extend it from westward to North Pacific Fuel. We've got $1.2 million in grant money so far, and we're trying for more. So that's the utility side. We need to work on as we can with our little utilities, getting our utilities on the ground, because once they decide to pave, they're going to go, well, why aren't your utilities in the ground already? So that's what we're doing.
Thanks, Steve. Makes more sense. Any further questions? Bill? Anyone on the Zoom, telephone, comments?
Nobody signed up for comment.
Well, thank you. Okay, well, I have no further questions on the CMMP. Thank you, everyone. And do you have any final comments, Chris?
Nope. Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight. It's the sort of the kickoff of the game here. And Now we'll start digging into the numbers. Thank you.
Thank you. Having completed all items on the agenda, we are adjourned at 11:52. Thank you very much. Good night, Alaska.